Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, April 2nd. And I hope you're enjoying a good day in the Lord. Well, we started out today with thunder and lightning and severe thunderstorms. And as of the time I'm making this broadcast, it has cleared off, still cloudy, and we've had bouts of rain, but you can see the sun in spots as well. Still warm, and they say cooler weather coming in the days ahead. But anyway, we're thanking God for his blessings and not complaining about what he sent to us thus far. Amen. I do thank him for safety and provision in the midst of the storm. Amen. Well, I've got a message that we started on yesterday's broadcast from Romans chapter 8, talking about the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in a moment, but I've got a couple of good songs queued up. We're going to hear from the Joyful Moyes family, the Jimmy Moyes family, singing for us here, one entitled, "The Best Is Yet to Come." Just a good short little happy song. Amen. But before that, I've got the Shepherd family singing one really in honor of what we just went through and what the world calls Holy Week, but the fact that we remember that Christ went to Calvary and that he got up from the grave. I've got the Shepherd family singing one entitled "The Scarlet Purple Robe," and remember what Jesus did for us on Calvary. That's what it's all about. So I hope you'll enjoy these two songs and then the message from the Word of God. Well, it is time to look back in the Scripture, and for this week's text, we're looking in Romans chapter number 8, verses 26 and 27. We've been dealing with a number of verses in each section thus far in our study of Romans chapter number 8, but today we're going to look, and this week, look at two verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. We're preaching on the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. And on today's program, I'm going to be doing a little bit of introduction, talking about the working of the Holy Ghost and tying this verse in its context with verses preceding and proceeding from this text. But I'm talking about how that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. And the infirmity we're going to deal with initially is our infirmity of waiting patiently. He had just ended with the fact that if we hope for something, hope helps us to wait and to wait patiently. Well, we have a problem with that. So that's what we're going to be dealing with on today's program, and I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
If you want to remain standing, turn in your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter number 8, as we're continuing our study verse by verse through the book of Romans. I've called it the Doctrinal Book of Romans. Brother Ballou used to say it this way, and he's right, and he deals with this in his breaking down of Paul's epistles. He said, first you've got the doctrine and then the doing. You've got the belief and then the behavior. By the way, you know why people behave the way they do? Because of what they believe. That's why they behave like they do. Really. And so you say, well, some people, they act crazy. Well, they really believe some crazy things. Yeah. And it's sad, but it's true that our world's filled with that. Amen. And then we say, well, why don't we act what we believe? We do. We just might not believe what we say we do. Amen. Our behavior is affected by our belief. Anyway, having said all that, we're looking in Romans chapter number 8, and this is a great pinnacle chapter. Romans chapter 8, Brother Billy Parson said that if the whole book of Romans is a ring, then he said Romans chapter 8, particularly verse 28, would be the jewel on the ring. And that's probably right, but all of chapter 8 is the jewel on the ring. And matter of fact, I mean, I love 28. We'll look at it in a moment. We're not going to deal with that today. We're going to deal with verse 26 and 27 today. It's just those two verses I'm going to try to deal with. But how can you say that any of these is better than the very first one? There is therefore now no condemnation. How do you get any better than no condemnation? Amen. Delivered from hell. I mean, again, go back to what we said before. You can have riches, but then if hell's at the end of it, what good's the riches? You can have popularity, but if hell's at the end of that, what good's the popularity? But to have no condemnation, praise God. That's really the theme of the whole chapter. And I dealt with that for three sermons. I don't have time to go over that again today. But look in verse number 26. We're dealing with the Holy Spirit today. And I'm titling my message, The Comforting Work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And we'll read it responsibly as we've been doing. I'll read verse 26. You come and join me on 27. And then we'll stop with just these two verses. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. We'll stop reading there. Ask God to add the blessing to the reading of His Word.
And having read our scripture reading for today's sermon, we're going to pick up and we're going to have just a little bit of what aired on yesterday's broadcast and then continue on with the new part. And so I hope you will enjoy the message.
We're assured in our heart by faith in God that we can, or that we have been accepted into the beloved. How did we get that assurance? The Holy Ghost told us that we'd been accepted into the beloved. Amen. How can we have confidence that there is therefore now no condemnation? How can we have that? The Holy Spirit gives us that confidence. God's Word said it. The Holy Spirit amens it in our own heart. Amen. Now think about that. Our heart says, you're accepted in the beloved of God. Our heart, the Holy Spirit in our heart says, there's therefore now no condemnation. But when we look around, we still see infirmities. When we look around, we still see ourselves suffering, surrounded by suffering, surrounded by troubles. Amen. And we know from Scripture that sin no longer has dominion over us. That's what He said in chapter 6. We know that. And yet so often we find ourselves tempted and tried on every hand. Amen. We recognize that we still live in a mortal body that is capable of corruption. In short, here's what we find. That even when we think we're strong, in reality we're weak. We're infirm. That's what that word means, infirm. We're not strong. Amen. We're not strong within ourselves. This whole idea of living for God and living for Christ is not a selfish thing. It's not just your willpower that does it. Now, I know we've got a will and that will has some power, and we ought to encourage some of that. But if we recognize that we in ourselves can do nothing, but the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. And so we know that we're not strong in ourselves, so what do? We cry out to our Father, Abba, Father, help me, Lord. Amen. That's the way we cry. And sometimes we cry as Paul seemed to do earlier there when he said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Or we cry as the disciples and we say, oh Lord, I am not sufficient for these things. I'm overwhelmed with troubles. Troubles seem to be going over my head. Now think about this. As a Christian, we long to please God. And yet we find ourselves failing to do so. We have a desire to be separated from uncleanness and from sin. We want to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. But we're reminded of our infirmities. What can we do? By the way, we don't just have one infirmity. You see the text. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We don't just have one. We got multiple infirmities. Multiple infirmities. Amen. But thank God right in the midst of our infirmities is when the Holy Spirit steps in. Amen. He helpeth our infirmities. I looked that word helpeth up at Strong's number 4878. It means to take hold of opposite together. In other words, it has this idea. I'm going to move this table, so I take hold of this side. And somebody else takes hold of the other side. What are they doing? They're helping. They're helping. Amen. They take hold of the opposite side. The whole idea there is this, is that the Holy Spirit comes in when troubles come to us And we say, Lord, I'm trying to get a hold of this, but I can't do it. God steps over on the other side, amen, in the form of the Holy Ghost, and he helps us in our infirmities. Amen. The idea of somebody coming along to give you a hand to help you carry your load. Amen. Now, the previous verse has been talking about how the whole creation groaneth. I touched on that already. The whole creation cries out to God for deliverance from the curse. We're asking God for deliverance. And surely, children of God are caught up in this fallen world. And when we find ourselves caught up in this fallen world, we're crying out for deliverance. We're saying, Lord, I don't like this. I don't like the fact that they just voted like they voted in the Senate. I don't like the way things are going in our world. Amen. We cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm upset about the troubles and the struggles and the problems. And here's what I'm saying. How does the Spirit help our infirmities? Well, one of the things is he teaches us to pray. He said that he'd given us this spirit of adoption in verse number 15. Look back, if you will, look back at 14. We'll go back to 14. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God causes us to start crying out to God for help. Amen. Amen. If you're not a praying person, you ought to check up and see if the Holy Spirit's working in your life. Because that's one of the things he does, is he causes us to pray. That's what he said. He causes us to cry, Abba, Father. Amen. And so the Spirit of God steps in to give us a hand. He causes us to recognize the great privilege of prayer. But, he said in our text, verse 26, we don't even know what we ought to pray for. We're not smart enough to put it in words. We've got some babies in the room and smaller children in the room. Little babies, that they start crying. And you know what one of the problems is they can't tell us what's hurting. They can't tell us what's wrong. And so what we want them to, we say, we want to teach them. Well, tell mama, tell daddy, tell me what's hurting and speak up. And we'll say, use your words. Yeah, not just grunts and groans and you know, when they get to where they can start making words, we say, use your voice or use your words and tell me what's going on. That's what the Holy Spirit does in the believer. Amen. When troubles come, we don't even know how to tell him our troubles. And the Holy Spirit starts helping us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. He helpeth our infirmities by speaking through us. Amen. In our perplexities, weaknesses, ignorance and distresses, we're often at a loss as to what would be the best for us. Amen. We would all agree that we want what God wants. We want the will of God to be done, but we don't necessarily know how to pray in the will of God on our own. Paul was in that conundrum when he said, in Philippians, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I got a longing to go, which would be far better. But I got a need to stay with you, which is more needful. And really, it's like Paul was saying, I really don't know what to pray for now. And he was dealing with the fact that he was going to Rome and he was in Rome and he was going to be heard, and whether or not how his case was going to go. He didn't know whether to pray that God would deliver him back or God would just let him go on to heaven. He said, I know what's more needful and I know what's best for me, but I know what's more needful for you. But I don't really know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to put into words exactly, Lord, this is what you need to do. Matter of fact, most of the time, when we think we know exactly how God needs to work this thing out, he's planning to do it a different way. Amen. And so we need the Spirit of God to give us that wisdom and that movement that'll help us to pray according to the will of God. That's what he's talking about here. Amen. And so exactly what to pray for is frequently unknown to us. We can't comprehend. But God's not left us comfortless. Jesus Christ, when he got ready to leave, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so he gave us the Holy Spirit as our comforter. He said he'll be another comforter. Amen. And the Spirit's here to help us. When we find ourselves and we do this quite often, when troubles overwhelm us, and we feel like our heart is about to burst with sorrow. You've been there, I'm sure. Sometimes it's not when you're around other people. It's when you're, maybe when you're laying your head on the pillow at night and those thoughts lead to your heart about to break with anxiety and the troubles and the trials and the burdens, the agony of those burdens that are there. The Bible said the Spirit of God then helps our infirmities. Amen. How's he do that? By making intercession for us. Amen. Look at verse 26. We'll continue reading it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. In other words, when we can't express the words, the Holy Spirit expresses the sentiments to the Father. He knows. He knows. Amen. Now, I think it would be a mistake to say that this verse teaches that Christians can never pray on their own. That's not what he's saying at all. No. No. Rather, what he's telling us is that the Spirit of God is our guide and our teacher, our helper in prayer. Not that he just does it all for us. We say, well, Lord, you know what I need? Just do it. Holy Ghost, you know what I need? Just get at it. No. The Holy Spirit helps us to know how to pray. That's the idea that he's using there. He's our helper in prayer. It seems to me that this statement saying the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, specifically that phrase for us, does not mean instead of us, but it means for our benefit, for our profit. He helps us do what needs to be done. Again, I go to move this table. I need help. I don't need you to do it for me. But I need you to help, and your help will be for me. It'll be to help me profit and get done what needs to be done. Are you, you're following me on that, I hope. All right. Now, I realize today I'm boring down on a simple truth, but I'm telling you, this is a phenomenal truth. That if we would recognize it, I believe it would revolutionize our life, that we ought to thank God that as Christians, we're not left comfortless. That we have the Spirit of God on the inside that can guide us and direct us and help us in our prayer life. Amen. Again, I go back to just what I was talking about this morning. I'm frustrated. They say, write your senators. What does it matter if they're crooked? Right? Call your congressman. What does it matter if they're crooked? I tell you what we can do. Go above the congressman. Go above the senator. Call on your Heavenly Father. He's not crooked. Amen. Call on your Heavenly Father. He's got the ability to actually get something done. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day. And God bless you.